welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the end of our spectacular Spooktober. And I have one final question to ask you. Scary Little Green Man, do you believe in Scary Little Green Man?
I guess I do now. That song is ludicrous.
So, with me as always are my brothers, Gabe, Ben, and David. How y'all doing tonight, gentlemen? Or morning, in case of one of us.
Going straight to hell.
Got a seat next to you on that one.
It's like a four-seater, y'all. Spooky, scary.
Just waiting for Elton John to show up.
Totally. Unexpected choice, but it seems to make sense, ultimately.
It's not a party until he does. But yes, we are doing Ozzy Osbourne's 2020 release, Ordinary Man. I believe Mr. Benjamin has some details for us.
I do. Not only since the last Ozzy album that we were doing for our Spooktacular October Ride, it is his 12th studio album. It was released on February 21st of 2020. Had a runtime of 49 minutes and 21 seconds, released on Epic. Andrew Watt and Lewis Bell were the producers. The band, well, holy God, is there a lot of people on here. Ozzy Osbourne, lead vocals, harmonica, and was credited with composition. I'm going to list the traditional musicians who appeared on this and not the orchestra, because there are like 30 people who played violin on this album who are, I'm not going to give all the credit. You can look that up on Wikipedia should it interest you. Andrew Watt, vocals, guitar, keyboards, piano, bass, and programming. Lewis Bell, keyboards, production. Duff McKagan, bass. Chad Smith, drums, / guitar on tracks 1 and 4. Tom Morello, guitars on tracks 8 and 10. Charlie Pugh, keyboard, track 1. Elton John, piano and co-lead vocals. Post Malone, co-lead vocals. Travis Scott, vocals. Kelly Osbourne, background vocals. Michael Dore, Nicholas Garrett, Peter Snip, all on bass. Richard Price and Sassy Watton on double bass, and Charlie Shine also played some guitars, and Happy Press some keyboards. And then a bunch of backup vocalists and, like I said, violinists.
Cast of thousands.
Yeah, dude, totally.
So, who all was this their first time with this album?
Me.
Okay, so I'm the only one that had experience with this prior. Okay. What did y'all think?
The fact that there were that many people on it is not surprising, because it just enhances the train wreck feel of this thing.
So my first, and like, I would say it's my only thought, but like, it's a really dominant thought in my mind about this album, is that I get it, Ozzy. You're an aging famous person staring death in the face, but there's other stuff to sing about. You can just try being less obvious and it might work out for you. But I guess that wasn't the way it was going to be.
Well, it's like they put out a call. It's like a call for papers where it was like, write a song about death for Ozzy Osbourne to sing. And then like everybody brought one. So Ozzy,
well, this
is the conference that we got.
I mean, the other thing is like, I have maybe a lower tolerance for like self-referential bullshit in like, sure, pop music. Like, if you're gonna like actually refer to yourself as the person that you are, you know, make it fun. Don't make it like a downer, and don't make it like be sorry for me kind of thing. Like, I just, it's just gross. Like, just stop it. I could be alone there though.
No, I know where you're coming from. I don't mind when it's differential and sad, but it's when that's the only thing you're doing, I guess it's just tiresome, I would say. But again, I can't believe this album exists. What do you think, Tracy? Again, you're looking slightly sad as we shred this.
No, like, this album I listened to in 2020. I didn't think it was good enough to come back to in 2020 a second time around. Like, it wasn't in contention for album of the year. I feel like I was still a right decision here. I didn't dislike it as much as everybody else in the field appears to have disliked it. Now, there was a couple interesting things, and it was like, okay, I wouldn't have ever thought of doing that if I was Ozzy. Like the whole Post Malone thing, apparently Ozzy's the one that reached out to him to do it, and he thought it was, and Post Malone thought it was bullshit at first until it was actually, hey, no, Ozzy legitimately wants to work with you on a song. He's like, oh, okay. And apparently, if you, from what I've gathered by Post Malone, outside of like music, he's just a big ass fucking nerd. So he's like, yeah, I'll do work with Ozzy. Who'd say no to that deal? And the Elton John, I think, was kind of neat and interesting. You hear like these, I guess you say, two titans of British music industry from very, very different genres. It was kind of like an interesting collaboration. But I mean, I didn't dislike as much as you guys. The differential stuff is there, but I think also like he almost like almost died from pneumonia prior to this, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's had a rough run. And I didn't hate this album. I thought it was okay, but
yeah.
You know, I maybe feel a little bit more about this album the way Ben felt about the last one, you know, just in terms of the wheels coming off a bit. But yeah, well, I thought it was okay.
I do still think it's a train wreck of an album. You're going to see that reflected in the grade that I give it. But let me pick out some highlights. I think his voice sounds better on this album than it did on the one that we did before this, which was four albums prior. And whether that's a production thing or the time off that he had taken or recovering from pneumonia or, you know, studio wizardry, can't say, but I thought it sounded better. I thought the playing was good. I love Zakk Wylde, but it was actually kind of nice not to hear the Zakk Wylde-isms. I love Duff McKagan as a bass player. I like the fact that he plays with a pick, so which changes the timbre of the strings. I thought the combination of Duff McKagan and Chad Smith, so like the Guns N' Roses guy and the dude from Red Hot Chili Peppers playing together as the rhythm section, was very weird, but it actually kind of worked. It's just I found the songs to be trite and not very catchy, and as Gabe pointed out, very redundant.
Could agree more.
I don't think they were redundant. I found it more songs than you guys did. Like, okay, I enjoy this. This is fine. But also, I didn't go into this expecting a whole lot. This is the one I was kind of like, I'm not expecting much from this album. And I wasn't expecting much when it came out. I was like, oh, I'll give it a listen. But I think there's enough to make it comparable. Like, I don't think it's a waste of time or energy. But this was very much a, I wouldn't be surprised if this was his last, like, in a sense, a last gas. And then you got the one coming out this year. Like, I thought this was his final album when it came out. Just looking at the times and everything that was going on and what he'd been going through. And as for his vocals, I think it's a mix of modern production values. Like, he auto-tunes and some stuff in here. And I think also this is probably the first album, at least that we've done, that he's been sober on for an extended period of time.
I mean, maybe. I don't know about that. You know, and rock stars or pop stars, like, sharing their own mortality and the death and releasing an album about it, it's not exactly an unknown thing. Levon Helm did that. Warren Zevon did that to an extent. So, but I didn't really, and maybe it's because of the fact that he's still alive and just released another album, so I don't feel it's that. It was just like, I do think he was in a mood, but really, again, because of the fact that he very rarely has a whole lot of direction and control of the songs, at least in my understanding of how the songs that he records are written, it just really felt like everybody else was looking at him like, yo, dog, things aren't looking too good, so let me write this kind of song for you. And so that was, it's, that is part of why I find it so repetitive, is because it's basically the same thing just with different writers writing.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to ask myself also, like, who got together and like were able to figure out that this is what people wanted to hear from Ozzy? Like, obviously it found a critical resonance, but what I want to know is what those people are smoking, because it is like, let me be clear. I like one song on this album. Like, you know, it has one of the best openers in his entire catalog. But I just don't see it. Like, I really just don't see it. A lot of people love this record.
I have a theory behind it, because you see it a lot, especially in metal, with these older acts, when they release an album for the first time in a very long time, that the critics do a massive, we've all seen the Stan Marsh image, right? Of just jizz everywhere. That is what the critics do. Because, I mean, you see it with Judas Priest album from 2018. It was the first one they'd released in forever. Everybody thought it was fantastic. There's two good songs on the album. The Deftones album a couple years ago that everybody was goo-goo for gaga over, that was okay at best.
It was okay, yeah.
But everybody else, like, it's the best album they've ever done. I think it's just this. This is his first album that was released in a very long time. He had just pretty much come off death's door for the 20th time probably in his life. And the reviewers were like, oh my God, this may be it. This is it. This is the first one in a long time.
It was a decade, right? I think it was 2010. Yeah.
Something like that. And they're like, this is the first one he's released in a long time. It's probably the last one he's going to release. And it's just like all the praise.
Yeah, it was a decade.
But my question is more like, you know, yes, it was the first album in 10 years, but it didn't have to be this record. It could have been a record that wasn't about like staring death in the face, like most of the tracks. You know what I'm saying? Like, why was this one? Why was this one so, you know, powerful for them?
I think it's part because Ozzy sent individually has a final say, yes or no, on a track being on an album, right? We would at least figure that much of it.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is actually him just almost dying prior to this album coming out. It was like, yes, this is what needs to be on there. Or it's such a image in his head. Cause I mean, every artist, like, they have that near death scenario. They like their next album is that.
Well, and I don't know how critically, the critical reception of this seemed to be pretty high. As you guys said, I don't know how much of the fan base actually likes this that well. It went gold fairly quickly, but it hasn't gone platinum. I mean, granted, it's only been 2 years, but I think it's just one of those things where this is the phenomenon you get when one of these legacy bands that has a name and a following releases something and they sell a lot of albums or downloads or whatever initially because they are legacy and they do have a fan base, and then it just kind of falls off when it's not really what the people wanted to hear.
Yeah, wait for Metallica's next album. You'll see a very similar situation happen with this one. It's just, oh my God, it's their best album since Injustice. And then you've listened to it 2 years later, and it's not actually that great. Or, like, I think Megadeth would be under a similar situation if they didn't release an album every 3 years.
Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Because that was the second coming of Crisis in Jutsu, and it was... Okay.
I like Senjutsu.
I mean, it was good, but I mean, it wasn't the second coming of Christ like everybody did in reviews.
Because that's what people were expecting, right?
Yes. That's what they're expecting. Like, the boys still got it. I mean, it's just, it's fandom.
Yeah, I guess fair. Are we in track mode now? Everyone's gotten real quiet and staring up in the space.
Probably.
I think we are. You don't have me.
So do we think that that these guest artists on this record are better than the ones on the last record? Is that something we would say? Because I don't know if I actually think that.
They're more in the front for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, I like I said, I liked not hearing all the Zach-isms, but it felt like guest musicians. There wasn't the
I agree with that. Yes, I 100%. It did not have that cohesion, even if it was a bit of a revolving door. I think Zach is what sort of gave it that sound for so long.
Well, and you know, Mike and Mike Borden and Robert Trujillo had played with him live a lot. I don't know, Chad Smith may have in the decade, you know, between like his last recording. I don't know who that was touring with him, so maybe Chad Smith was doing stuff when the Chili Peppers were off, but I know for sure that, you know, Slash and Tom Morello were not touring with him. They might have shown up for spot shows, but there
was Post Malone.
Yeah.
Right. Elton John.
It wasn't that cohesiveness that you get from people who have played together for a long, long time.
I agree
with that. And there's a reason that like people bring in session musicians because they're very good. And I'm not going to talk shit about any of the musicians on this because I thought they did a really good job. It just, This was like the featuring Ozzy Osbourne album. Ozzy Osbourne in France, you could have called it. So I guess that was my long-winded way of answering your questions that no, I didn't think it was. I will go first on tracks. I didn't like any of them.
Damn. I'll go next. I like Straight to Hell, Goodbye, Ordinary Man. Because that's just that Ordinary Man ended up on a different playlist than my normal like metal playlist. So that's like on my classic rock playlist. The Friends and Family playlist, I'm like, I think I can get by on playing this stuff whenever people are around. It's just not me. Let's see what else I got on there. Crap. Too far.
Actually, I need to take that back while you're thinking. I do like Under the Graveyard. I'm sorry.
Eat Me, Scary Little Green Man. And I like the two Post Malone songs as well.
Go ahead, David.
I thought Straight to Hell was a good opener, as you said. I thought that was all right. Ordinary Man is interesting. I think that was fine. Like Under the Graveyard also. I thought it's all right. It's okay. But, most of it's just sort of, it's there. I don't know. It really did, it was a little frustrating, the sort of lack of cohesion. But I think I'm probably going to, I think we'll see it in grades come between Tracy and the two of you again.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to add other than I think that Eat Me is like acceptable. It's a blues, but it's not anything special. What I think is interesting though about It's a Raid is that it seems very punk. And for me, like in my mind, Ozzy and punk do not mix. They're like different things. But nobody really cares what I think. This album is definitely not for me.
I agree with you. There are a million vocalists that I think I would have liked on that song better than Ozzy, because it just
it would have felt different too.
Yeah.
Ready for grades?
Hells yeah.
Who wants to go first?
I can start us at the bottom.
Yeah. I want to go last because I kind of want to see where everybody falls.
Oh, man. Well, that's probably a smart move. So this is a D plus for me.
D plus rodeo.
Take me there.
I'm going to fail it. There's only one track I really like. And as much as I respect the playing on it, no, son.
So is this like a 65 fail or just like a 45 fail?
Tracy, I don't give a shit about that. So you can put in whatever number you want to, as long as it's fail.
F Holsters coming to town.
We will give it 50.
Shit, dude. I did not hate this as much as either. Or not hate, dislike this as much as Gabe or Ben. I thought there was some okay shit on here. I don't know. I'll give it a C. What's the Tracy's pained face? I don't know what you're expecting me to say.
So I pulled a lot off this album, but for different reasons. Like if I'm gonna go, there's a lot of I'm gonna pull a Ben thing here. There's a lot of not metal on this album. It's okay. Random stuff. Now the stuff, random stuff, I enjoy, but it's also not metal. And I do agree that that does lead to this very disjointed experience. I listen to the album, and while I did pull several off here, a lot of it's in, spread throughout multiple playlists. I'm actually going to give this a C+. Like if this is a music review, I may give it bump it up a little bit, but with it being a metal, I'm going to fall on the Ben playbook here and go, it's a C plus.
I mean, I do agree with this that. Time said 50.
Yeah, right. I do agree with it, but this feels much more like a mainstream pop album than it does even anything adjacent to metal.
Yeah, which was what I was wanting to talk about now we've done this entire Ozzy run, and which we talked about in the previous album, of how he was kind of going to the people who were going to buy his stuff. That's who he was targeting to his audience with Down to Earth. Now, obviously, it feels like with this album, he's like, well, let's see if I can reach different generations. Because he brings in
yes.
Travis Scott and Post Malone, who are obviously not his original audience. Hell, they're a generation younger than I am, I think.
Yeah, they are.
So it's a very interesting kind of like him reaching out to dive in that generation. Now, granted, I am pretty sure that the exposure will help some for him, kind of like help spread a bit. Like Johnny Cash's Hurt really introduced him to an entire new generation. I might like, but, or, oh, there was a rapper in the mid-2000s that sampled Crazy Train that introduced a lot of people to Ozzy Osbourne at the time. Then I remember, in fact, we were in a weight room working out one time for football, and one guy's like, oh, damn, I knew he didn't get that from that. Who is this guy? Or if I thought that Ozzy had stole the guitar lick for Crazy Train from the rapper, and he's like, no, dude, this came out like in the 80s. This is before him. He's like, oh, so he got it from somebody else. Yeah.
So I think that that's an interesting comparison, especially the Johnny Cash, because the entire thing about the American recordings were Johnny Cash taking those songs and doing them in his style.
Indeed.
Where this is Ozzy bringing in writers from outside of his world and then trying to fit their style. And I don't think it works as well, obviously. I mean, I gave the thing a no.
Yeah, I mean, Ozzy isn't a rapper.
That's a true statement. But, write that down, everyone.
The reason that I said that is because, you know, on a lot of rap records, you have features, right?
Oh, sure.
You bring in guest artists to, you know, spit a verse or two and essentially liven up some of your own material. And it sort of feels like that's what he does here. You know, that's the sort of approach that he's taking here. And, you know, sorry, I'm still like perseverating on this like one record, but I think that this record would have worked better if it didn't pursue that approach. Like if it had stuck to like, okay,
sure,
like it's going to be an Aussie record and like it's going to be, I don't know, something that's centered around the style that he does, the style that he's known for.
Tracy, have you heard any of the 2022 one? I don't know exactly what it's out.
I've heard a single off of it. It came out last month, actually.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So you haven't heard it. Yeah, I thought it was already out. I don't know. I've not listened to
one leg of it. It came out last month or this month?
I think it was last month. I know that
I considered listening to it.
It doesn't have. It has some of the same people who worked on this one on it. Like it has the same producer. I don't. Chad Smith is back playing drums. Robert Trujillo is back in the bass chair, although Duff McKagan does appear. Zach Wild comes in and plays guitars down. So it is still an all-star appearance, but it's not. There are not as many people, from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm. But you get Tony Iommi back and Jeff Beck in that album as well, which was like a weird mix.
Not really. I don't think Tony Iommi and Jeff Beck are a weird mix.
No, I mean, like Jeff Beck is featured on one song. Tony Iommi is featured on two.
Yeah. I don't know that Jeff actually plays on it or if he just helped write it.
I might check it out. I'm just curious. Yeah. Maybe it's better than this one. I don't know. I found this one okay, but...
For Ben, yeah. Gabe, that's not a high bar to reach.
Yeah, we haven't heard F Holster hasn't come out in a little bit.
So. It has been a while. It has been a while.
Speaking of F Holster, somehow our aggregate was able to get it to 68.
Well done.
Go team.
I'm seeing how much.
I mean, that means that Ben doesn't have to teach it next year, so that's good news.
Yeah, that is good news.
Ben would have to give it a 16 or lower, so he'd have to teach it again. So, but I put him before a 50, so that puts us at an average of a 68, so it's a D plus. I don't think any of us would buy this out, just to say no on that.
Nah.
He has enough money, he's fine.
Yep.
I do think that this is a good album cover, I will say that.
Me too.
cool photo of Ozzy. So I might would buy a poster of the album cover, but I don't want the album.
Yeah.
I get that.
All right, gentlemen. I think that brings us in to our Spooktober, our third one. Ooh. Our fourth one we've done. Our third band-specific one we've done.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm still partial to the Paradise Lost one. I think that's probably my favorite one we've done so far.
I mean, you know how I feel about Gwar, even though it wasn't my idea. So, what are we going to do next here? I don't know. I think we've talked about this a little bit. I guess we'll see.
Gwar 2, The Reckoning.
I mean, there's not much left.
It's like three albums we didn't do.
Or Danzig. I know a lot of them we've tapped the well, but I'm sure we'll figure out something.
But we're only doing four albums like that, so
we could finish off the Danzig, I think.
I don't
we
know.
Could.
I'm not sure if we should.
But we could.
Danzig number 5 is enough for me to never do Danzig again.
Hey guys, October is Danzig Awareness Month. So
exactly, 100%. Well, it sounds like we're going to have a lively debate off camera, so to speak, off mic, about what we're doing next year.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then you feel free to send us suggestions of what you want to hear us. Want to torment us with our spectacular.
We could do Misfits as well. I'm not saying like.
We could.
That would be interesting considering, like, I guess with the Graves era, there's probably enough. Or we could do the box. Anyway, we can talk about it.
We can talk about it.
Ben's like, there's not enough real Misfit albums out to do it, but to do
I
that.
I was doing that math too. I was like, one, two, yeah.
I think we know where Ben stands on that subject.
I like the Misfits.
I mean, we've run out of Morbid Angel. It's hard. It's Cannibal Corpse.
We've come out of hard times, guys.
There are a lot of Cannibal Corpses.
99% of bands are not Slayer.
there's a we got
that should be a t-shirt.
We got almost an entire thing of black metal. Anyway, a genre of black metal we could dive into.
Yeah, but we keep running across Nazi assholes in that genre, so
100%.
True.
Ugh.
But anyways, tune in next year for the next Spooktober for random guest A. Whenever we decide on who it will be, you'll know.
You know what? We could do White Zombie.
No, nope, I'm good.
Ah! Nope. History, every one of these, one of us is like, absolutely not. So I think this is going to be like a constitutional convention type situation. Well, see what hideous consensus we come to next year on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.